The Bible reading this morning will be from Psalm chapter 100, all five verses. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures all generations.
Isn't that a wonderful psalm? Psalm 100. Just wonderful. One thing that separates the saved from the lost in this world, I think, is really a song. In a passage like Revelation chapter 14 and verse 3, where John saw a symbolic representation of God's servants, ones who were marked and set apart from those who were sons of disobedience, the Spirit included a distinction there. The servants of God knew a song that no one else knew. I'm intrigued by that symbol, really. A symbol chosen by the Spirit to distinguish those who are saved from those who are lost. It's a song. The saved ones knew this song, but the lost ones didn't. Singing has been, for a long time, part of worshiping God, mentioned as early in the Bible as Exodus chapter 15, and continues to be a part of worship today from Ephesians 5:19 and Colossians 3:16. I may not understand everything there is to understand about that symbol in the book of Revelation chapter 14 in verse 3, but I do understand this. What makes us different from the people of the world is that we have a heart of worship to our Father in heaven. We worship God. And when God wanted to symbolize that difference, I think singing is the way that He chose to do that very thing. The important place of singing in the life of the Christian and the life of our worshiping together in this community, that important place is demonstrated by the fact that we have an opportunity and occasion to sing as we did this morning. And I think that we may sometimes take our singing for granted without fully appreciating its place in our spiritual lives. May God bless you for being here this morning. We have a number of visitors. We're delighted to have you with us today. We appreciate so very much your presence. We are blessed to be in a location where we have visitors from time to time, and we're so thankful that you have chosen to worship God in our assembly today. It tells us that you can do that and please God here, and we appreciate that so very much. In the lesson this morning, I'd like for us to think about some simple things with regard to singing. What was singing for in the pages of God's Word? Why do we sing? What was sung, and how are we to sing? Very simple things, but very important things and characteristic of God's people. Thank you for taking the time to think about these things with me this morning from the Word of God. What was singing for? The most basic principle involved in singing and in answering that question, singing has always been to praise God, the Creator of this universe, extolling His virtues, His characteristics, His holiness, His great character, His greatness, His power, His wisdom, all of those wonderful attributes that the Creator of the universe possesses. And all of those things, His creatures praise Him with their lips and a song in their heart because they recognize who and what He is. Throughout the book of Psalms in the Old Testament, there are so very many passages that demonstrate this type of praise to God. Representative of that might be Psalm 7 and verse 17. I will give thanks to the Lord according to His righteousness, and I will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. very representative of many passages in Psalms. But uniquely, Psalm and the 8th Psalm says this, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth, who have displayed your splendor above the heavens. From the mouth of infants and nursing babes, you have established strength because of your adversaries to make the enemy and the revengeful cease. When I consider the work of your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, you have ordained. What is man that you take thought of him, and the son of man that you care for him, yet you have made him a little lower than God, and you crown him with glory and majesty. You make him to rule over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heaven and the fish of the sea, whatever passes through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Many psalms are like that in the Old Testament, and provide the backdrop for our assembling together and singing praises to God as we do in the worship assembly. Those very type of praises can be sung by God's people wherever they are. You recall that Paul and Silas sang hymns of praise to God when they were mistreated and cast into prison for preaching about Jesus Christ in Acts 16 and verse 25. Very much akin to praise offered to God is the thanksgiving that we offer to God, that His followers offer to Him. We certainly understand the command to sing in Colossians 3 and verse 16, but the manner in which we sing is very important from that passage. We're to sing with thankfulness in our hearts. The first song recorded in Scripture is a song of that very type, a song of thanksgiving for delivering the children of Israel from Pharaoh of Egypt through the Red Sea in Exodus chapter 15. In Judges 5, the song of Deborah and Barak also is a song of thanksgiving. And on it goes through the pages of God's Word. We see God being thanked by His people, and by people who recognize who He is and what He has done. Singing has always been popular among men because it stems from and expresses a great emotion that people have. We're not surprised to learn that singing, even as worship to God, has been used to express that emotion that fills man's hearts. Overwhelming emotion, we see, expressed by men in the pages of God's Word particularly, is the emotion of joy, being thankful to God for His great blessings, the many ways that He blesses us in this life. Psalm 5 and verse 11 says, "But let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy, and may you shelter them, that those who love your name may exult in you." Psalm 20 and verse 5, "We will sing for joy over your victory, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions." The Scripture presents singing as a natural expression of a joy-filled heart for the one who has been responsible for that joy, created that joy, provided the occasion that joy might spring forth, according to James 5 and verse 13. But we also see other emotions expressed in the pages of God's Word. We see sorrow and regret expressed in song, particularly a psalm of David, Psalm 51. A psalm of deep regret that he'd sinned against his Father in heaven, and a petition for his salvation. So we see other emotions expressed also, and to petition God. Psalm 51, we just mentioned, was a petition for forgiveness. Psalm 5 is another example of petitioning God for His help. Just the first couple of verses of that psalm reads this way. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my groaning. Heed the sound of my cry for help. My King and my God, for to you I pray. You see a very sincere petition from someone's heart, appealing to the Creator for help. So, song is used to petition God. And we know that singing is worship unto God, and it's directed to God. It is outgoing to God. But there is a manward aspect to singing, which also must be considered as a part of worship. As early as the conquest of Canaan, we see that singing was used to teach other people certain truths that resided with God. Deuteronomy 31 and verse 19 says the song recorded in Deuteronomy chapter 32 was to be taught to the Israelites to be a witness for God against them. That is, it was teaching them something. And there are many psalms that are used to teach something as they were sung in Old Testament times, and even as they are sung today. Many psalms are used for teaching. Like Psalm 1 is a primary example that gives us stern teaching about walking in the right way versus walking in a path of wickedness. When Christians were commanded to sing, they were commanded to speak to one another in their singing in Ephesians 5 and verse 19. They were commanded to teach and admonish one another in Colossians 3 and verse 16. Two of the key passages in the New Testament that talk about singing among God's people today. And finally, consider 1 Chronicles 16 and verse 23. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim good tidings of His salvation from day to day. Singing was used to proclaim good tidings, very much like Paul's admonition to the Romans in Romans 10 and verse 15, the second part of that verse. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good tidings. One way to do that is through song, isn't it? Acts 16 and verse 25, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying, singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners where they were imprisoned were listening to them, God's record said. And we don't know the exact words that Paul and Silas were singing. We don't know exactly the content of what those prisoners were listening to. But we do know what happened after people heard them singing. The jailer asked them on that very occasion, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So it had to have something to do with salvation from sin through the authority of Jesus Christ. The prisoners were listening to that. The jailer heard it. And the jailer was instructed to the extent that the jailer acted on what he learned by those songs. Very, very interesting, isn't it? The power of a song. Recognize this. When we sing, we're really doing more than just singing. We're accomplishing something. We're certainly praising God. We're certainly allowing something to go forth up to our God in heaven that He's pleased with. If we sing in the right way, if we offer it in the right spirit, if the right words are used to extol and praise His name, certainly He is accepting of that. We praise God. We thank God. We're proclaiming the gospel to people who enter our assembly and sit and listen to the words of the song. The gospel is being taught in the words of the songs that we sing. Have you found yourself asking, what job is there for me to do in the kingdom. But if you think about it, when we sing, aren't we not doing something good for God in the kingdom? Aren't we teaching and admonishing one another in the Word of God? Words, scriptural words, words from God put to the music of our hearts as we blend our voices together. Aren't we doing that very thing? Certainly we are. Singing is not a punch card activity and we just mark that off our list of duties. We accomplish something when we sing. Consider what you're trying to do in the song when you sing it and sing it that way. It's good to do that. Why do we sing? Well, you know, you could take the Bible and we could be here probably all afternoon thinking about all the reasons that the Bible shows why people who have been blessed by God would sing. There are so very many reasons, but just to breeze through a few, these are reasons. And the attending scripture, and I put a list of these if you want to take those home with you on the back of the Family Matters, but because God is highly exalted, because God is who He is, because He has the character that He does, His everlasting loving kindness, God is good. You know, we're around so many bad people in this life, and it just brings us down, doesn't it? But our God is good. And we can sing to Him and praise Him for His goodness. He's good all the time. Not just some of the time. He's good all of the time. And good for us. Good to us. And so it creates a joy within us. And when we are happy and joyous over the blessings we enjoy from God, we sing. He's dealt bountifully with us. We enjoy victory through God. Spiritual victory. God's reign and His rule, His strength, His protection, His help in time of need. You know, on and on we can go down through a list of scripture after scripture showing why we sing. We praise God's righteous judgment. He doesn't take underhand bribes under the table to pervert true judgment and justice among people, regardless of their economic standard, does He? Because of the redemption we enjoy, the wonderful things that God has done, the commands that are righteous, that are good, that are pleasant, His deliverance from our sins, and the consequences of our sins that would be very terrible if God didn't provide a way for us to enjoy His mercy and His thanksgiving. You know, that is enough already without even thinking of any other scripture. To praise God every day of our lives and to thank Him wholeheartedly, sincerely, from our hearts for the wonderful way He has blessed us and how thankful we truly are. So we must ask, why am I singing? Because it's that time for me to sing in the assembly or because God says that I have to? Well, check your motivation. Check your motivation as to why you sing and you will see an improvement there, I think. What was sung in the Bible? We're all very well versed with Ephesians 5:19 and Colossians 3:16, the two key passages that we mentioned. The church was commanded to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. There's very little difference between each one of those terms used to describe what we are to sing. All of these terms demonstrate a song of praise or singing things that have a spiritual value to them. And certainly a praise to God. We don't sing top 40 hits. We sing spiritual songs of worship and praise to God for the spiritual blessings that we enjoy and the edification that we can give. The building up that we can give. The strengthening that we can give to each other when we do that very thing. And that's wonderful for us to do. Going beyond these oftentimes referenced verses of the New Testament, the Old Testament provides some answers about what was sung, I think. In the Old Testament, we are told there that the Lord was their song. That's a key idea, I think. What does it really mean? Clearly it demonstrates a topic of singing. The Lord, that is. His character, His nature, His essence, His works among men. All things that are bound up in what God is and what He has done for us should be our song. But more than that, the point is, God is the topic because God is the one who generates the song within our heart because of who He is and what He has done. Not by force, not by command, but rather because God is who He is and what He has done, and it's a natural response for the recipients of great blessings to overflow with something in return, some thankfulness, and put to a song. You know, that's really the essence of what it is to sing to our God. The Lord was their song. Also, God's Word was their song. That would be no surprise to us today, I think. The issue is not simply one of reciting Scripture in the songs that we sing, but rather it's singing songs that correspond to God's Word, that extol God's Word, that remind us of things that our Heavenly Father has said and what He has promised to His faithful ones. Aren't those just wonderful songs? We don't propagate our own ideas when we sing. We usually restrict ourselves pretty much to what God has said in His Word, and that's a wonderful way to honor our Father in heaven. Well, how are we to sing is a question that usually comes to mind. We often spend time answering the question about how we are not to sing. That is, we're not to sing with the accompaniment of mechanical instruments when we assemble together to worship God. The New Testament is very clear, and we are correct to teach and to practice a cappella singing, voice singing, without the addition of mechanical instruments of music. I've searched the New Testament many times, and you have too, and we cannot find mechanical accompaniment to singing praises to God in New Testament worship. It's not there. But notice how the Old Testament viewed mechanical instruments and accompaniment. Mechanical accompaniment was not just a part of the singing in the Old Testament. It was not something that the Israelites did in a response of commands to sing. The Old Testament is clear in its commands to sing along with mechanical accompaniment. In several places in the Psalm, but Psalm 98, verse 5 and 6 is an example of that being done. But these instruments that were used in praise to God in Old Testament times were not a part of the singing. They were something done in addition to the singing, along with the song. In the Old Testament, there's a clear distinction between playing and singing. In 1 Samuel 18, verses 6 and 7, the verse says that the women did three things. They played their tambourines and musical instruments, they danced their dance, and they sang their song. Those are three distinct things that were done on that occasion. Notice the distinction clearly made in Psalm 87 and verse 7, where there were those who sang and there were those who played. And so the Old Testament knows the distinction between those different activities. When we come to the New Testament, we must ask, where are the commands or where are the examples for singing accompanied by mechanical instruments of music? Where is the singing and where is the addition to the singing with instruments of music? And it's not there. There's not one reference to that in the pages of the New Testament. Is there one really? Actually, I think there may be one. If we look in Ephesians 5 and verse 19, the instrument that is used to accompany singing in the New Testament worship is the melody of the heart. The melody of the heart in Ephesians 5 and verse 19. Psalm 84 and verse 2 teaches that it was a part of the Old Testament singing as well. The heart, the melody from the heart, very much a part of that. We recognize it is the only accompanying instrument that we find authorized in the New Testament worship, and it's not a mechanical instrument, is it? But this is not the most important thing about how we sing. Consider what the Bible says about how we sing. Colossians 3 and verse 16 is a very important passage. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom and teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And so we can see in that passage that we sing with an attitude of thanksgiving. Notice this passage speaks not just of a particular type of song, but an attitude of heart accompanying all of our singing, whether we are praising God in song, or whether we are edifying our brother, or whether we are spreading the good news by the songs that we sing. We have to be thankful, and we need to be thankful that we are even physically able to sing. Thankful that God allows us to be in a relationship with Him. He's provided a way. And to be in a relationship with one another. We must be thankful for those things. Is thankfulness in your heart when you sing? That's a question that each of us must give serious consideration to, I think. Now there's another passage in the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 15, that mentions singing with the Spirit and singing with the understanding. In this passage, however, the specific context has to do with miraculous spiritual gifts and their use in the assembly, but also for the necessity of making all public teaching understandable for the hearers. That was a key point in the use of miraculous gifts in the early church of the first century. But that principle is very important even today. Understanding. We must be able to understand. We must be able to understand what is sung, and we must have some understanding of what we are singing. That's very important. When we sing, we must sing with the understanding and understandably so that those around us can say the amen when we finish the song. That's not to say our inner being, the seed of our emotions and the seed of our feelings, is not to be involved in our singing. That's taught clearly both in Ephesians 5:19 and Colossians 3 and verse 16 when the heart is mentioned. We're not to be just mouthing the words. It must truly be a part of us. We must truly be emotionally and spiritually involved in what we are singing. So, how do you sing this day? Some additional comments, I think, maybe in reference to the subject of singing. Considering all that we've talked about in our study this morning, we just recognize that singing is a natural response to the wonderful blessing of salvation that God has made available for us. Where would we be without it? And God's work in us, Romans 15 and verse 9. We want to sing, and we want to enjoy singing, not because we're good at it, not necessarily because it's fun, not necessarily because it's pretty, but rather because of what God has done for us. And it's a natural response, isn't it? A natural response of the heart to thank God for that. It's one of those things that comes bounding forth from our hearts, kind of like cheering for your favorite team in the Super Bowl. It's just, you get caught up in the excitement and it just comes out of you if you're into that sort of thing. And that's similar to what it's like. But it's greater than that because our God is greater than any sports team. However, Proverbs 29 and verse 6 implies in its contrasting statement that if an individual is involved in sin, it hinders his singing. That is, the one who gets involved in sin will rarely find that well springing up within him, that emotion pouring forth from him in praise to God. He will rarely find that motivation to sing. And perhaps it's the sin of bitterness or resentment or something that puts us in a knot and just twists us around. Maybe it's selfishness in the home. Maybe it's a moral sin or something like that. But if you find you are not joyously wanting to sing, you might find yourself dreading the singing or dreading the night when we use bi-monthly on a Sunday p.m. service to spend our time singing to our God and to one another. You might find yourself dreading that. And the reason might be because something is amiss. Something is not right between you and your God. And you can't have that type of singing that you could have if amends were made between you and God. And having said that, just because we enjoy singing, and we do it with great enthusiasm, does not mean necessarily that we are right with God. There are religious people worldwide who sing, and sing very well, and sing enthusiastically, and sing loud. And it appears as if they believe the words of the song that they're singing. That happens every day in our world. They hold up their hands when you witness their singing, even the strongest in the doctrine of Christ would be tempted to say, well, these must truly be a people who have a relationship with God. But that may not be the case at all. They may not abide in the teaching of Christ. They may not abide in Jesus Christ and His doctrine. It's very important that we do that. Isaiah 24 and verse 16 is a passage in the Old Testament that demonstrates this very thing. They were singing, glory to God, glory to God. They thought their relationship was strong and their singing was praising God and their praise to God would make it so. But the righteous said, woe is me, woe is me. Because in reality, the world was dealing treacherously in that passage. So sing with all your heart. And don't believe just because you sing praises that you are right with God. But be right with God. And then the singing part will take care of itself, generally speaking. Singing holds this very unique place in our worship to God, doesn't it? Even today. One that when we realize it, we're really shocked by those who do not participate enthusiastically. We're shocked by people who skip the Sunday night singing because that's all we're doing is singing on Sunday night. It's the only part of our congregational worship where each of us has the ability to participate equally. Each of us has the ability to participate equally. The leader may start the song, but he doesn't do more generally than anyone else. Everyone is on equal footing here. The same people who don't participate sometimes want to know what work they can do in the kingdom of God or want to be instructed. How do I teach and how do I pray? Well, start by singing. That's a great place to learn those things, and especially with our young people. When we sing these songs, our voices may not be as pretty as the person next to you, but we're not performing. We're teaching and admonishing like the Bible says. praising, proclaiming, and petitioning God. You're doing it. And you're doing it with Christ. He is in our assembly with us. He is among us. He is praising God with us. Hebrews 2 and verse 12. Interestingly, I noticed something as I was preparing this lesson. Can you see a word in here that you think would strike you as interesting in this Psalm 71 and verse 23? My lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you, and my soul which you have redeemed. And those other passages mention that word too. Shout for joy. You know, that's really interesting to me. Mumbling is never likened to singing in the pages of God's Word, is it? So I encourage you to sing out. And as Isaiah counsels in Isaiah 42, 10 through 12, let us sing aloud and shout, praising and giving glory to God. Such wonderful admonitions of Scripture in reference to that subject for us. For those who are not Christians already, I understand why you have trouble singing or why you don't sing. It's because you have nothing to sing about today. But fortunately, if you are in that condition and you are in this assembly, you can fix that before you leave here. You can leave here a child of God who has been forgiven of sin with a song on your lips, and it'll be there. It'll be there, I guarantee it. Can we help you this morning? Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? And have you obeyed His will to have your sins washed away? Have you confessed Him before men? Have you repented of your sins as the Bible teaches? Have you been baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins? Raised to walk in newness of life, Romans 6. Can we help you with that today? We would be delighted to do that. The angels in heaven will rejoice, and the song on your heart will be so sweet when you sing it to the Lord. Can we help you? If we can, please come and let us know how while we stand together and encourage you by singing this song.